Hello, all you Powers of Grayskull fans. Sorry, episode 117 of Masters of Grayskull is running late, but here it is. Enjoy.
This is Man-at-Arms, and you are listening to the Masters of Grayskull.
Thank you, Mr. Gary Chalk, as Man-at-Arms from the 2002 He-Man and the Masters Universe cartoon series for giving us that promo. I'm, of course, TFG, and Mike joining me is Optimus Solo. Hello, sir.
Hello.
We just want to put this at the beginning of every episode for Masters of Grayskull. We dedicate every single episode of this to the memory of Dean Stephan. Dean, who was the writer, story editor, all that kind of stuff on the 2002 He-Man series, passed away May 15th of 2018. And not only are we doing this because we're finishing our Powers of Grayskull series podcast, we're also, I feel at this point, doing this in the memory of him, because the stories that he helped create and build for this series, it revitalized the MOTU franchise, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's unfortunate that we didn't have a chance to ever talk to him before the show, but we can at least remember him as we move forward.
Absolutely. And now, on with the show.
I am Adam, Prince of Eternia, defender of the secrets of Castle Grayskull. This is Cringer, my fearless friend. Fabulous. By the power of Grayskull!
I have the power!
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 117th chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey into the Masters of the Universe franchise is TFG1 Mike. Hello.
Hello.
Are you ready to return to Eternia, sir?
Yes, I'm ready to go back to Eternia.
Right. Well, in this episode of Masters of Grayskull, we will be giving you our thoughts on the next three episodes of the series, which are episode 27, The Last Stand, episode 28, To Walk with Dragons, and episode 29, Out of the Past. We have reach season 2, so we hope you're ready, because it's time to go back to Eternia.
Previously on He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
The state of high alert is no longer in force. You are to immediately report to your hometowns and villages for a well-earned leave.
And so they scatter. Now go conquer.
Perhaps Prince Adam could be of some assistance.
Oh, Duncan!
All right, first up today, guys, is episode 27, which is also the first episode of season 2. It's titled The Last Stand. It's an air date of October 18th, 2003, written by Dean Stephan. And guys, if you remember, we left off season 1 pretty much on a cliffhanger. We had had the Council of Evil, had basically encaptured all of our masters. And then you also had the evil warriors who were captured. So basically it was the Council of Evil, and they were hunting down Prince Adam, who found himself outside of Castle Grayskull. And then obviously we have a situation where he thinks his friends are showing up, but it's actually the evil warriors. So now it's all of the Council of Evil, as well as the evil warriors, coming after Adam and trying to break into Castle Grayskull. That's where we find ourselves when this episode picks up. Mike, what did you think of The Last Stand?
I really dug it. I thought it was interesting. I know this is season 2, episode 1, but I really think we should have had this in last week's episode of the podcast, because ending on that cliffhanger, I'm like, wait, what? That's it?
We had to do that to the listeners, Mike. We had to cliffhang them. We had to make them wanting to come back to see what else happened.
And I'm so glad I only caught this series at the time, intermittently at the time, because if I was paying attention to this and I would have had to wait, you know, 3, 4, 5 months between, I would go crazy. Especially in the age of now, you know, being able to, you know, stream episodes on Netflix or wherever you stream stuff, Hulu, you know, Sling TV, whatever you end up using. That would have driven me nuts. But yes, this episode, I love this episode. I think all of the animation is great. The action is awesome. I love that Adam doesn't care. Like, he'll mouth off to Skeletor. He don't care.
Just out of curiosity, Prince Adam, how did you plan on stopping me?
with your good looks.
Laugh all you want to, Skeletor. The Masters will be here any second.
Oh, I think not.
Yeah. So I love that Adam is kind of, it's not really character development, but he's kind of not just, oh, sorry, Skeletor, I'm just a kid. You know, he's kind of picking up on the He-Man stuff. And part of this, I guess you could say, three-part arc or whatever you want to call it, is that he doesn't have his sword. That's why he's Adam. He had to become Adam to get out of the binds that he was trapped in. And then the sword went bye-bye for a while.
Right.
Until we had a nice little magic show with Orko.
Basically. Yeah, basically. Things I liked about this episode. I like the samurai ponytail for Man-at-Arms.
Mm-hmm.
I like that's what they've kind of done with him in the series. I don't know if I'd mentioned that before, but it's something that they brought up in the commentary on this episode. So wanted to bring that over again. It's another in a series of episodes that have pretty epic battle scenes, something that kind of separates this series maybe from some of the things we've talked about or just other series like it, is, you know, all these all-on huge scale battles. And we get another one here today. Queen Marlena has some good moments in here. Mm-hmm. So I think that's good. She's not just kind of in the background doing nothing type thing. So I like a lot of those things. My only nitpick on this episode really is I don't know about the believability of this episode. First off, we have just where we've backed ourselves in the corner. Adam's, you know, facing insurmountable odds, and our way out of that is just Orko brings the sword, which I guess is fine, but He-Man takes on all of them by himself. All of them.
Well, you know, he is He-Man. I mean, at least he's not
I get that.
But at least he's not trying to, you know, move water by, you know, carrying it in a, you know, in a rock formation.
I would get it more if it was like he was battling a group that consisted of Trapjaw, Triclops, Beastman, and, you know, some Clawful or something like that. But you have Evil-Lyn, you have Skeletor, you have Count Marzo, you have the big giant ogre things, like that's, I don't know how much I can buy that he just single-handedly defeats all of them, but he is He-Man, so if anybody's going to do it, I guess it's him.
I can buy that he's fending them off, he's not completely defeating them, because this battle takes a good majority of the 22 minutes of the episode, so I can believe that, oh, hey, he's going to knock down Evil-Lyn, or he's going to knock down Marzo, and then he's going to go over to, you know, Clawful or whomever, or, you know, one of the three giants. But those characters that he knocked down are still going to get back up. So it's not like he just, you know, swung his sword around really quickly, let a bunch of lightning come out of it, and struck everybody down and killed them all right then. It'd be cool if he could do that, but then it would be a really short show. So I believe the fact that he can fend them off. You're right. Not even though he is He-Man, I'm not so sure he could actually defeat all of them. But I think the thing about this is that was the point. He's not supposed to be defeating all of them. He's supposed to be buying time until something somehow happens. Like you said, Orko shows up, gets him the sword. At the end, we have Mossman coming in with all the Masters, and we have Zodak and the Sorceress and everything else. So, again, he's just killing time more than killing evil warriors.
Right.
So, because by the time all the good guys show up, the bad guys are like, I think we're going to go home now.
No, I mean, I think if you pair this with the other episodes and kind of did it all as, like, one big long, like, almost not like movie style, but like one mega episode, I think that's really good. I think if you're breaking them down like they do into these episodes, this one might not be as good as the other ones to me, just barely, but I still enjoyed it, and I still think it's good as part of that kind of epic story that they told.
Yeah, see, I felt the storytelling got a heck of a lot better here, and the storytelling will get better as the series goes along. Not that it hasn't been bad to this point, but as we've said, there are a few little things. I really don't have anything negative for this one. I actually really enjoyed this. I've seen this episode like 4 times now. So, because as I mentioned multiple times in this series of podcasts, I have to watch it, take notes. I have to watch it to record the audio. I then have to basically listen back to the thing to get out, you know, the funny clips and things like that, or the serious moments that we want to showcase in the final product of the podcast. So, yeah, I still very much dig this.
Yeah, I think it is good. What kind of power swords or havoc staffs or ratings do you give this one?
Power swords to everybody, even Orko.
All right. Sounds good. I don't really have, I guess maybe a power sword to Queen Rylana, or he for taking everybody on. Episode rating, I have a feeling you're going to be a tiny bit higher than me. I am at a 3.5.
Five? Easily.
It's not a five episode.
Easily five episodes for me.
Four, or maybe even a 4.5. It's not a five.
There's a five written down on the script that you gave me. So
disagree. Disagree. Well,
just because you disagree doesn't mean you don't have to put it down on your thing, which you do. So
I'm putting that's what you put it. I think you're wrong.
Now bow before me.
Skeletor got rid of them.
My evil warriors, free at last from that accursed Eternian prison.
We had a little help.
Oh? From whom?
From that cobra.
We mustn't trouble the great Skeletor with details. He has far more important things on his mind.
Indeed.
I see you've wasted no time in replacing us.
Replace you, dear Evelyn? Why do you think I went to all the trouble of retrieving Count Marzo's amulet, freeing Evil Seed, and gathering the others? Good question. It was for the express purpose of avenging your capture. And avenge it I did. Even as we speak, those so-called masters of the universe are locked away inside my dungeon.
You did all that for us?
I doubt it.
It's not nice to take what rightfully belongs to others. But then, like father, like son. Now, be a good little prince and return that. Scared? Oh, petrified.
I think the previous episodes were better than it, but such is life. Mike gives it a perfect score. It's not a perfect episode, but we will move on. Coming up next, we're going to walk with some dragons.
So, Randor is forming a new council?
Mm-hmm. Even as we speak, representatives from the far corners of Eternia are heading for the royal palace.
Should this council prove to be a success, Randor will have an even stronger power base and be that much more difficult to thwart.
All right, guys, up next is episode 28, To Walk with Dragons, October 25th, 2003. Dean Stefan, when King Randor calls for an international council against the threat of Skeletor, the villain plans to attack after the obstacles of the dragons are removed. All right. So basically what's happening is King Randor has called an international council. We're seeing a lot of different species or races or whatever you want to call it from previous episodes that we've already come into contact with. Kind of a representative of each one of those is joining King Randor at the palace. They're going to kind of form this council to combat Skeletor. On Skeletor's side, though, they have these animals, which they call Serpentators, that they are going to send over to the castle. But they can't do that unless the dragons are removed. So they use Stinkor to remove the dragons, and then the Serpentators can go towards the Royal Palace. Mike, what did you think of this He-Man G.I. Joe crossover?
My favorite line out of this is, "Okay then, Stinkor, you can go back downstairs now."
Oh, I could not stop getting the Serpentators out of my head.
Yeah. Like, It's Serpentor. He-Man G.I. Joe crossover.
Oh my goodness.
Can you just imagine what 80s Cobra Commander and 2002 Skeletor would try to do to
I think that'd be good.
Yeah, that would
like
be good.
Like crossover idea. No, on a side note, can I go on a rant here?
Sure.
I'm kind of over the weird ass crossovers between properties that have nothing to do with each other. Just because they're from a certain time period or just because they're popular in the now or whatever the case may be, I don't get it. It makes no sense to me. I don't need, like, I get it if it's like somewhat in the same universe. Like if you had, I don't know, like let's say you had a Thundercat Silverhawks crossover, maybe I could buy that. Mm-hmm. Or even like a G.I. Joe and a Mask, because they're both human people on Earth type thing. Like, I could buy that. I don't need any more of the comic book Marvel DC characters crossing over with things like He-Man or Transformers or G.I. Joe or things of that nature. Like, that makes no sense to me.
Okay, so you haven't read this.
I've sidetracked.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I may just end up cutting all this out and putting it in another show, but probably not, because I'm lazy. Here's the thing. Yeah. IDW Publishing has the publishing rights for Transformers, G.I. Joe, mm-hmm. Mask, Gem, ROM, and the Space Knights, Visionaries. And when they were doing these things, they had a Visionary series that crossed over with Transformers. All this stuff was to end the Transformers universe, to basically say, hey, we're ending our 13-year run, and we're going to have all these characters interact with each other, like G.I. Joe interacted with Mask, and vice versa, and whatever else. The thing with MOTU is that ever since MOTU was a thing, it's always been He-Man versus Superman, or Skeletor versus Darkseid or something. It's for the last 35, 30, whatever, however long it's been, it's always been a thing. It always will be a thing.
That's fine in fantasy fiction. That's fine in like some random podcast where people are just riffing.
No,
I don't need to see that in reality.
No, but see,
I don't need to see Superman and He-Man together ever.
You just don't get it. You just don't.
It makes
get
no
it.
Sense. He-Man is not even on the same universe as Superman. Maybe Superman is on Earth or on Krypton. He-Man is in Eternia. They would never cross paths.
Well, as the original series, you know, told us, Earth and Eternia are in the same universe because Marlena is of Earth. Okay, but you don't even read the comics. Like,
it makes no sense. It's a comic thing, and that's another reason why I don't like comics. Like, why do that? Like, why have stuff cross over into other worlds?
To tell an interesting story.
No, it's not. It's almost like a cash grab. You're literally just trying to grab fans of something else and bring them into your property, and it's cheap. It makes it from a story standpoint, it would never make sense. It's like, hey, there's a bunch of people that are diehard He-Man fans. We have nothing to do with He-Man, but we're going to cross over onto this Superman, and then we'll get those readers and we'll get those viewers, and then we can capture them, and maybe they'll stick with us. It's like, it's a cheap cash grab. If it would make sense, I get it. Like I said, if it's if you're crossing over Thundercats and Silverhawks, maybe. I mean, they were in the same somewhat universe, I guess. But or I don't have a bigger problem with like the G.I. Joe and the Mask. Mm-hmm. Like, they could possibly coexist in the same realm. But when you start messing with things that are otherworldly or things of that nature, like, that's when I just don't, but it, don't get it.
Okay, I understand your point of you think it's a cash grab, and it potentially is, because they still sometimes make follow-up series. Like Batman TMNT, that first series was a great story. It was well-written. The art was amazing. They have Batman TMNT 2, and they've got currently running Batman TMNT 3. Batman TMNT 2 was, again, another great, cool story. It explained how they each of the universes collided. And, you know, it worked.
So stupid.
I think you just need to give it a try.
It's so stupid.
You just need to, like, okay, the only one I've ever really asked you to try is He-Man Thundercats, because that's
the That would even make more sense than some of them. Like, it's like, oh, Star Wars is big and Harry Potter's big. We're going to have a comic that has Harry Potter and Star Wars characters together, and we're going to make some rinky-dink story to make it explain and make it sense and all this other stuff, when it's like, no, they're different worlds. I don't need that. Sorry, that's my rant.
So I guess I shouldn't even talk about, because you already ranted on the comments section for that when that was posted, I shouldn't even mention the Turtles Power Rangers crossover that's coming, right?
That's just garbage. Makes me not want to be a fan of the Turtles anymore.
Oh, stop it.
Anyways, I like the new Good Council. I like the G.I. Joe reference. As long as they don't put Serpentor in the episode, I'm good. Hey, we actually got to see Beastman use his power for once. That's cool. I just say this because I feel like it's been like a billion years of... Not a billion years. It's been a billion episodes we've covered on the various podcasts so far that are at MOTU, where we've seen Beastman and he's done nothing with his power to communicate with animals and to use his power over them. So I was like, hey, we get that again. That's cool. Yeah, I mean, this episode is all right. But compared to others we've gotten, it's kind of a meh episode for me. Maybe it's because we just came off of that epic, you know, end of season one, beginning of season two, multi-episode story. But this one's like, it's almost like a one-off to me where I'm kind of like, eh. And I also think that it's kind of silly, and I'll give you a chance to talk in a second, I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't know if it's necessarily bad animation, but the decision to have like 1,000 dragons that are between Snake Mountain and the palace, like Stinkor comes off and like all the dragons fly away, and there's like, God bless it, like a million dragons that flew away. Like, dragons are not that prevalent. Like, you need to have like, in my world, in my vision of Eternia, there's like less than a dozen dragons. You know what I mean? Like, there's maybe a dozen dragons. It's, you know, you got Granomir somewhere, and you got, like, a smattering of a few more here and there, but it's not like you're just walking down the street and, oh, there's another dragon, because that's what they made it seem like when there was 1,000. It was like when you walk by a tree that's full of birds, and you disturb it, and all of a sudden, like, 50 birds fly away. That's not how dragons are. So I had a problem with that.
Man. And people think I'm negative.
Come on, that was way too many dragons they put in that animation.
But
why is there 1,000 dragons?
Hello, it's an entire Eternia. Like, I could see if it was like, oh, the dragons that just live in the ice mountains, or the dragons that just live in the evergreen forest, or the dragons that just kind of hang out around the palace of Eternos. But they said the entirety of the planet. So think of dragons in this series as the American...
Apparently as robins.
Okay, well... Or finches. I was going to say the American bald eagle, because those are extinct too, but...
No, there was more... There was more dragons than eagles. It was literally like whatever the most common bird that you have in your area, that's what they turned dragons into in this episode.
Oh, so they're pigeons now. Great.
Yeah, they might as well have been pigeons or whatever. Oh, like, it was so stupid. Like, they should have been like... a few dragons that flew away, like maybe even a couple dozen I would have bought, but they put hundreds on the screen. All right, that's a nitpick. I know it had really not much to do with the rest of the episode, but this is just a meh. It's a one-off episode. Do you agree or disagree?
Are you giving away any power swords or havoc staffs? Don't tell me you're going to give a havoc staff to the million dragons.
I'm giving a havoc staff to whoever decided there was a million dragons, and I'm giving a pop... whoever named the other thing Serpentor. Because that's ridiculous. Like, you can't name something that without knowledge of Serpentor, right?
Right.
You don't exactly. just come up with Serpentors.
Okay,
like,
so...
but we're going to add a syllable. All
right, I don't watch this. What I'm going to ask you if you do. I don't know if you do or not. I don't know if Amanda does or not. You guys watch Stranger Things?
Yes.
Okay. So in Stranger Things, they have all these references, correct? They do all these things that are supposed to reference other things, correct?
Right. Correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure I have that right, because I know nothing of the series. I have not watched any of it, but I wanted to make sure I had the general...
It takes place in the past, so there's references to a lot of stuff that existed in the past.
Exactly. Well, look at it this way. Anything that they reference, or anything that they throw in here, like Serpentor, it's an homage. That's all it is. We've talked about homages for the last 10 or 11 years we've been podcasting together, and all of a sudden you're not okay with those anymore.
I said it was a power sword to whoever named it Serpentor. I just think it's hilarious that they're like, we're going to add an A. We're going to add one syllable, so it's not a complete ripoff of the G.I. Joe thing, even though we're clearly ripping that off.
I am going to give a power sword to Orko. Because Orko was really cool in this, because he basically faced his fear, and that was awesome. And he had to go with Stratos, and he had to do this little magic thing for the dragons to show them the Serpentor minions and whatever. Also, obviously, He-Man. He-Man always gets a power sword.
Yeah.
Did you say what your rating was?
Nope, I'm holding it captive so I can reveal it at a specific time.
Okay.
Like right now. It's a 3.0.
Yeah, I'm at a 3.5, so just a half.
You come back to Earth, thank God.
Oh, stop it.
So it's the middle of the road. It's a slightly above average episode, but it is what it is. It's just kind of, I think, bad timing coming off of the episodes we've just got previously. So we're going to take a break when we come back. It's the last episode for today. We're coming out of the past with episode 29 next.
All right, He-Man. I know when I'm beaten. I do hope you don't bruise easily, He-Man.
I'll catch up with the convoy and see that they get back to the palace safely.
My father was right. He predicted Skeletor would ambush the council members.
And last up today is episode 29, Out of the Past, November 1st, 2003. Dean Stefan, all day today. Tila finds herself onto a village called Palesia, where she falls from her sky sled. She awakens to find that she is in the company of small creatures, Palesians, who believe her to be someone of great importance from their past. So, first off, in this episode, we learn what Oedipus, what his race is called, Palesians. So we have Tila. She falls into this land that apparently the sorceress at one point also was a part of. I'm not going to go too much into it because we'll get through it while we go through our things that we like and dislike. But basically, this is a story that's going to hint at some of Tila's backstory. It's also going to give us some of sorceress's backstory. What did you think of this episode, Out of the Past?
Man, I dug it. I thought it was great. Another great episode. I'm already going to give it a 5. it's one of those things where story drives this series, and this was one of, if not the, I think this is, we had mentioned a couple podcasts ago about the sorceress, and you had said something about wanting to know her origin or whatever. This is, it's right here. this is the beginning of that arc. Well, it's the beginning of learning about her past and Man-at-Arms' past and whatever, kind of a thing.
Right.
Go ahead.
We basically get to set the stage, I guess, a little bit more. We get a flashback in the beginning of the Sorceress in this town. So the Sorceress finds herself in this town of Plesians, and it gets attacked, and she basically has to summon all of her powers to fight back the evil and save the village. And this happens to be the same village now that Teela finds herself at. But while the Sorceress was there, she also took care for a human, I guess you could call it, a human man. So she cared him and brought him back to health, and then had a baby with him. So they got it on. They kind of skip past that part because it's, you know, a cartoon. So that happens, and so basically they have a child, and that child is, of course, Teela. But we don't actually get to see who the father is. He's covered in bandages, and we don't really ever get to see his identity. So continue with what your thought was.
To defeat an enemy, one must think as he does. What is it, Teela?
Nothing. I'll meet you back at the palace. It's as if I knew that village was the...
Tug convoy got away. They weren't even carrying any Eternium we could steal.
They're members of the Eternian Council, which Skeletor, in his wisdom, seeks to destroy.
Precisely. Randor seeks to use the Council to widen his power base. Well, two can play at that game. I too shall widen my domain by conquering villages and cities throughout the land. Behold!
I still want to, you know, believe that it is Man-at-Arms.
It's specifically said that it is not Man-at-Arms in the commentary. So, he vaguely resembles Man-at-Arms, but a different person planned. But then obviously since the show gets canceled before we ever get that, we don't get to see what they had planned for season 3, which was going to reveal the identity of Teela's father.
I do dig this. I think it's great. Again, character focus, development, backstory, taking an episode and focusing it on Teela. It's not just about He-Man. It's not just about fighting Skeletor and stopping his potential takeover of Grayskull. And we learn that Odafus / Stinkor is the Gorilla Grodd of this universe, because he's the only one out of his tribe that is evil. Because he was
Turned on his tribe and almost made them all die, get captured or whatever. So that was interesting. But I do like to bring that back as a reference that we get to see Oedipus again instead of just Stinkor. So it kind of is giving us all kinds of angles on that story. We get the Sorcerer's backstory. We get Teela backstory. We get Sorcerer being a complete badass. This is probably the most we've got to see her actually do, even if it wasn't a flashback of her younger self, but she is kicking ass and taking names. I love that there's a moment in this episode. I love how Adam doesn't even ask questions. Somebody literally just says, a friend of ours is needed, and boom, he transforms a He-Man. Like, he doesn't even care. He's like just minding his own business, and somebody's like, hey, we need help, and it's like, boom, mm-hmm. by the power of Grayskull. I'm He-Man. He doesn't ask. Doesn't do nothing. It's just like, okay, I've been through this before. I'll turn into He-Man real quick. Yeah, I thought it was funny that thing that was shooting the... I don't know what we're going to call those things. That's probably my least favorite part about the episode was the those like goo things that they were fighting.
Oh, the goo boners, yeah.
I would have rather them be like something actual, like, I don't know. But anyways, they're shooting their goo, and I love that they catch Teela's hair.
Yep. Against
the rock, and then they have to cut her hair to get...
Yeah.
Free, and it was pretty slickly done as far as how they did it with the animation. It was kind of quick and everything, and that was kind of cool.
Heyman's like, but, oh, sorry, and she's like, oh, I kind of meant to go short.
I love that her hair seems like it's the exact same length, though, after that. It doesn't seem like
it's
and my only Snake Mountain moment is curse this series for not finishing it and not being allowed to finish, because I want to see the culmination of this story.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Power Sword. Habit staffs or other notes in this episode?
Power swords for Teela, He-Man, Sorceress, Skeletor, and Man-at-Arms.
He gives his out very willy-nilly.
It's not willy-nilly. Hey, how often did I give Teela a power sword back way back when? So, you know.
I agree with you as far as Sorceress.
Oh, I give power to Sorceress.
So, she's my one. How about a rating you were to give it a 5?
Yep.
All right, I'll give it a 4.5. Just a tick below you. I don't think it's perfect because of those gooey monster things and a couple other things, but it's pretty damn good.
But I do love He-Man's line, burn them and break them.
So, and on a positive note, a 4.5 and a 5. Season 2 is off to the races. And that's where we have it today. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll let you know what's coming next.
Man-at-Arms, come to Grayskull. At once.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spots sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car. Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Hi, I'm Terry Smith, the host of Music Talks, the podcast where I ask guests a simple but beguiling question. Choose a song from each decade of your life and tell me why these songs mean so much to you. Guests and listeners love this format, and if you want to find out why, then take a listen at musictalkspod.buzzsprout.com or use your favourite podcast app. Just search on Music Talks Terry Smith. If you'd like to be a guest on the show and... then send me a tweet at Music Talks Pod. I look forward to doing some music talking soon.
What I am about to recount, no mortal has ever been told. It was many years ago. The isolation of these walls had become too much for me to bear. I longed to walk amongst Eternians, to hear the laughter of children. Skeletor's evil had not yet infected the land. The power of the elders was secure within the crystal chamber. Peaceful village. The villagers were welcoming and generous, offering me food to eat and a place to sleep. There were simple pleasures to be had. For the first time in as long as I could remember, I felt at peace.
We are back here on Masters of Grayskull inside the Powers of Grayskull series. Two out of three good ones today. Really, really enjoy. Walk with
no
Dragons.
No terrible ones.
No. Three and a half and a three are not bad ratings. That's very much middle ground. And there weren't too many moments where, you know, characters were... There actually weren't any moments, really. Even Orko wasn't acting like he was his normal idiotic character self. So there's that. Any other final thoughts before I close it out?
No, season two's off to a good start. I'm anxious to relive some of the other episodes that are yet to come, and the frustrations of this series not being able to finish will continue.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening to us as we are the Masters of Grayskull. If you'd like to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other posts, podcasts, written stuff, and whatever else. And here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, the home of where our files exist, Spreaker. You can also find us on Stitcher, TuneIn, any other podcatching app, but we prefer the ones that I just listed. I often ask Steve recently, I'm like, does anyone even still use TuneIn? Like, I haven't heard that. Anyway, leave us feedback in iTunes, even though iTunes is kind of defunct now. It's still on Windows PCs, but you still leave us feedback on there, so please leave us a review there. Follow us on Twitter, at Geekcast Radio is the network. Twitter, at Power of Grayskull is for the show. I'm at TFGO and Mike. What is your Twitter?
At Optimus Solo, and you can weigh in on the debate on crossovers.
Oh, God, stop. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekcastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed the Grayskull goodness today, and don't forget to join us in our next adventure when we will take a look at the next three episodes of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, which are Rise of the Snake Men, Parts 1 and 2, and then we've got The Price of Deceit. So this is kind of depressing. Rise of the Snake Men Part 1 is Episode 30 of the series. We have 10 cartoons left in this series.
Until the new series.
Well, yeah, but that's a limited thing. I'm just saying, as far, you know, you're talking about, you know, having the issue with this series ending too soon. We've only got 10 cartoons left in this series. Like, oh God, it's too damn soon. For now, I am TF2 and Mike with
Mr. Optimus Solo.
For a minute there, I thought you were going to say Mr. Optimus Prime. That's somebody else, you know.
Yeah.
By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, we all have the power.
But I got something you're gonna really, really like. Wait. Ta-da!
My power sword!
You get this plot synopsis. That is the worst plot synopsis I have ever seen in my entire life.
It's not good plot synopsis ever anywhere.
It's like, oh God.